We're very excited to have Grace Kelly in studio today with her pianist, Doug Johnson. In studio now, Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly on saxophone, Doug Johnson on piano. Grace, you started on clarinet in fourth grade, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then 2 years later, you're in sixth grade, and you have an album out. Okay,
yes.
So can you tell me what... That's a lot of stuff going on in a two-year time span. Can you tell me a little bit about from the time you picked up that clarinet in fourth grade to the 2 years later?
Yeah, actually, well, now that I'm thinking about it, I started clarinet in fourth grade, so I was a little bit younger, and then I started saxophone at age 10.
Oh, okay.
And I was really awful at clarinet. It was like, you know, playing from the books but squeaking every other note, and nobody wanted to hear me practice, and I, to be honest, didn't want to practice. And I started on classical piano, and I didn't like practicing that either. I found out very quickly that I loved to create and make up notes that weren't on the page. So I was I'm very lucky to have parents who said, all right, okay, we'll support her and maybe let her do a different thing than classical. Maybe she should go play some jazz. And when I started saxophone, the first time I picked it up and blew into it, I just fell in love with it, and it clicked. And I had my first concert 6 weeks after starting, and I was so small that I couldn't hold the horn. So what I had to do is I put out my case. I sat on my case. I had a pillow, rested the horn like that. And I played Besame Mucho, My Funny Valentine. These were some of the first songs that I learned. And everything just kind of happened quickly. Met some people, and it was my music teacher in middle school who said, Grace, got to document this, record an album. And he really, you know, was enthusiastic about doing that. I had no idea what that meant. But that was the beginning of a wonderful journey.
So then you get this album recorded, and you're 12, is that right, when
yes.
that comes out? So then what happens next?
Well, we thought that the next natural thing to do would be have a CD release concert. So that's what we did. And, you know, we would figure that it would just be a few friends and family. We did it at a church. But there was a giant newspaper article that came out in the Tab, and it ended up being like 250 people sold out of strangers that I didn't know. And I remember being so nervous that I didn't think I'd be able to get up on stage. And I've been practicing for weeks, practicing what I was going to say, practicing the songs. But I did it. And I guess that's one of the moments where I realized that I love performing so much, because once I was up there, it just felt so wonderful to be playing music and to be up there leading a band. And then I started meeting a lot of people, musicians, got mentored by some greats like Phil Woods, Harry Connick Jr., Wynton Marsalis. Wynton invited me to play with his big band at Rose Hall for two nights in Lincoln Center.
So you're meeting people like Dave Brubeck and Wynton Marsalis and Harry Connick Jr. Mm-hmm. and Phil Woods in your early teens. Is your mind just kind of blown when this happens?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I think that when I was starting saxophone, I had I don't have it now because it's all on computer, but just a giant bunch of CDs on my music stand that I would fall asleep to and wake up in the morning. And people like Phil Woods, Lee Konin, Dave Brubeck, they were in that pile. And to meet them, well... Yeah, it's very surreal. And I remember the first time I met Lee going up to his apartment, his elevator, I really thought I was about to pee in my pants. I was just so nervous. And I get really nervous when I meet my idols. And then you just come to realize that they're just people, wonderful people, very generous. And it's very cool.
Well, how about we hear another song?
Sure.
What are we going to hear?
We are going to perform a lovely standard called Bye Bye Blackbird. Go singing low, bye bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, and so is he. Bye bye, blackbird. Can love and understand me? Oh, what hard luck stories they all end me. So come unpack my bags and light the lights. I'll arrive late tonight. It's just so lovely to be here on KPLU on the radio with you. And I have to point out that we have 8 or 9 lovely sponsors sitting in the room. And that makes it so wonderful because we get to perform for live bodies, even though there are lots of you listening out there. Last night at Tula's, we had such a lovely audience. There's something in the air in Seattle, not just rain. We've been lucky, 'cause today is sunshine. Woo, there's lots of sunshine. Let's see if it lasts, I don't know. But we'll see, I hope you come out tonight. That's Doug Johnson on piano. Pack up all my care and woe. Here I go singing low. Bye, bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, and so is he. Stories they all hand me. So come on, light the lights, pack my bags. I'll arrive late tonight. Blackbird, talking about the blackbird. Sound and a dee da do do, so da da do 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 dee da da do 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 da da do.
Like the Seattle references and their scored points, I'm sure there. So we heard a lot about some of your horn player influences, mm-hmm. but you're singing there. What vocal influences did you have?
Well, I grew up with parents who played wonderful music, and people like Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan. You know, you might have heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm, you know, there's wonderful people today that I love. People like Diane Reeves and just countless others. I probably listen to more singers than instrumentalists, just because being a person who does both and playing an instrument, I love knowing the words to songs, and I just love the, yeah, I don't know. It's something I've always done.
Well, I have to ask you, I'm sure you get asked about this all the time, but I got to ask you about Phil Woods. How mm-hmm. did you come to meet Phil Woods initially?
I met Phil, let's see, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 5 years ago mm-hmm. at the Stanford Jazz Residency in Stanford, California. And I saw that he was going to be on faculty there. And so I went as a camper, hoping to meet him and get some lessons from him. Turns out he didn't teach any lessons, but it so happened that I was in the ensemble before the one he taught. So he would come a little bit early and watch ours, and we became friends, and he was really quite complimentary and just said, yeah, I love what you're doing. So that's where the relationship started. And then there were a few instances. We did a jazz cruise with my band, and he was a special guest on the cruise. And there was a person in the audience who said, you should record with Phil. And that didn't even cross my mind. And I asked if that would be something he would be even interested in. He was like, absolutely, you know, that would be an honor. Let's do it. So we went into the studio for an afternoon, got a whole disc out of it. And what I didn't expect is that we would be touring the CD together. But we have, you know, we've done a few weeks in Europe. We were just in New Jersey, been traveling around the States. And that's quite a treat.
Well, tell me about Phil Wood's hat.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Well, right after I did the Stanford Jazz Residency Program, he came to Pittsfield, Massachusetts to play their jazz festival. And I went to say hi to him before the show because I'm from Boston. That's not a long drive. And he said, hey, Grace, do you have your horn? And I actually had my horn in the trunk. So he said, yes, I do. And he's like, why don't you join me on the song? I'll remember April. So I went on stage and I joined him for the song. And after his solo, he took off his legendary leather cap and he put it on my head. And this is the cap that he's been wearing on like every CD cover for the last 50 years. And I tried to put it on his head after his solo, and he said, no, keep it. It looks good on you. So I have his hat, and he's got a brand new one because he custom orders them. And you can see that it's very well worn, and so it's lovely.
Where do you keep Phil Wood's hat?
I keep it in my closet.
Yeah, that's where I keep my, that's where I keep my Phil Wood's hat, too. So you're 19 years old. Do you find that being a young jazz musician that you end up having young fans as well?
Not really, but that's something that I'm continuing to develop music and grow an audience for, just because, you know, the music that, say, Phil Woods grew up playing is for people more my parents' age who that was, like, popular music then. Now people are listening to Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber. That's popular music today. But I think that there's a certain change that's kind of happening in jazz where young people coming up are starting to meld pop with jazz, do Michael Jackson covers, or they're doing Radiohead covers, and that's bringing in more young people. So for me, like in my album with the band, I recorded Ain't No Sunshine, did a cover of that, and it's a very exciting time because I feel like things are kind of going in new directions for jazz, and even someone like Tony Bennett, I was just talking about this with my dad this morning, he has a duet album with Lady Gaga on it and Amy Winehouse. And even that is helping young people discover, oh, hey, like, I'm a Lady Gaga fan, but, hey, who's this guy? This is really cool. And then they're going to trace Tony Bennett back and see everything that he's done. So that's kind of one of my dreams and goals as a young person who's kind of pioneering in jazz, to also bring the people of my generation into the music.
Well, we'd love to hear one more song.
Sure. This is actually a composition of mine off my CD, Mood Changes. It's entitled Tender Madness.
Thank you. Thank you.